Thanks for listening to this podcast from Exchange Church Belfast. We really hope that you find it encouraging and uplifting. And if you like what you're listening to, why don't you visit us online at exchangechurchbelfast.com for more information.
Thing before I get to speak, I'm like, "Whoa, I'm on site." Thanks for that. I take it that I'll be on bringing bread because my cooking skills are never up to scratch. Put me down for bread. I love it. I'm just going to quickly start into this. We last week started a series on prayer. We called it Connect, A Better Way to Pray. And Andrew kind of did a little bit of an intro based on the teaching of Jesus from Matthew 6. And in a way, he challenged many of our misconceptions about prayer and about the subject of prayer. Quite often, when you hear prayer, you kind of feel, oh, guilty. Could always be better at that, never spend enough time doing that, or you've never quite mastered the art of praying. And the topic of prayer, to be honest, I sometimes feel uncomfortable with it because I can get all religious about it and think, oh, I didn't pray today, or oh, I didn't pray yesterday. And we can make it into something of a chore that we just do because we're Christians. Before Jesus taught his disciples how to pray, he had to teach them how not to pray. So just before he enters into the whole Lord's Prayer thing, he tells them how not to pray, which is what Andrew dealt with last week. And if you weren't here last week, and I know many of you weren't, can I really encourage you to go back to our podcast and to get that teaching? What we're going to be teaching on in the next 5 or 6 weeks is actually a whole package. One teaching on its own isn't going to even touch what the whole thing is about. So if you're going to miss a week or you think you're not going to get all of this, then please download this message from our podcast because there's some amazing nuggets of truth in there that I know have completely changed my life and my walk with God. So last week, Matthew looked at Matthew 6. Andrew looked at Matthew 6, and he talked about how hypocrites love to pray and how Gentiles love to use many, many words. And in a way, in a nutshell, his talk was a challenge to examine your own heart as to why you pray. Is it simply just to tick a box and say, right, I've done my prayer bit today? Is it a duty? Is it, I better pray to God or else he'll be really ticked off at me? Or do you try and pray a really long prayer because you know that's what Christians do. And whenever you're in prayer meetings, there's all these really big, impressive words when people pray. So you try to conjure up even bigger words so that you look good. Do you really try and do that? Why on earth do you pray? There was a great quote that I loved last week that Andrew used from John G. Lake. It says, there's a mighty difference between saying prayers and praying. Okay? There's a mighty difference between saying prayers and praying. How you approach prayer, your heart attitude as to why you're praying is really, really important. We aren't trying to say all these words to make God move. And Andrew's already said it. We believe that God's already moved. And all we're doing in prayer is simply communing with God and building our relationship with him. So this morning I'm going to move on in that chapter of Matthew 6. And I'm going to cover a little bit of what Jesus taught on the Lord's Prayer. Okay, so if you have your Bible, it's going to come up on the screen as well. If you have your Bible, please turn to it. In Matthew 6, beginning at verse 9, it says, pray then like this, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. So this is what has become known as the Lord's Prayer, okay? More accurately, do you know whenever you have your Bible and it gives you the little headings for what's coming next? In the New King James Version, it's called a model prayer, okay? It's not called the Lord's Prayer. It's called a model prayer, and that's exactly what this little passage of Scripture is. It's a model. It's not Jesus telling us this is the exact words you're supposed to pray. It's Jesus saying this is a way to pray. It's a guideline to pray. I'm keeping in line with what Andrew said last week. Words are important, okay, but not as important as your heart attitude, okay? It's not simply just reciting things. I remember joining a new school. It was Grosvenor, and going to my first ever assembly, and the singing was absolutely atrocious. It was like this woman beating out this awful piano, and I was like 300 people in the room. I thought, oh, this is going to be epic, you know, people singing hymns, and you couldn't even hear anybody. I think I started off with like the first line and realized I was actually the only one you could hear, which wasn't a good thing. And so quickly was like, oh, no one sings here, obviously. So just like, and then it got to the bit where at the end of every assembly, you said the Lord's Prayer, and we had this wee game that you tried to see who could get to the end of it the quickest. And I never won, but we used to have this wee game, and then you had to like tap your foot when you got to the end of it. And that's really, really bad. And even when I'm reading that passage of scripture, right, I'm automatically going into our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be. There's like a wee rhythm to it. And that's just the way that we're programmed, because we have been taught that this is a great prayer. This is what you pray. But like I was saying, this was never, never intended to just be simply repeated. It's a model. It's a model that Jesus was saying, do you know what? This is how I want you to pray. It's not what I want you to pray, but this is a kind of clue as to the way I want you to come to me and come to God. So what did Jesus really mean by this model? And I'm going to just break it down quickly, because this isn't the main point of my talk, okay? It says, our Father in heaven. Their first line says a lot, okay? Your dad, he's your dad, he's your father. That's the attitude you come in whenever you pray. You come in to chat to your dad. It's not that, you know, you start your prayer going, oh God, I haven't prayed in ages, all right? You come in knowing that your God wants to hear from you, that your God wants relationship with you, and recognizing that's the relationship I have with the God who created the universe. He's my daddy. He's my father. Hallowed be your name. And that kind of echoes Psalm 100. We're to enter his gates with thanksgiving. We're to enter his courts with praise. That's about attitude, okay? That's about coming in with a mind and a heart filled with worship. You are coming to talk to God. He is a good God. He is a big God. He's your dad. And that's the way you start to pray. It's not like, oh, I'm so sorry. I haven't prayed in about a week. And, you know, that's not what it's about. It's about going in boldly and going, you're my dad and I love you. You're fantastic and you're great. It's not about coming into his presence and focusing on how unworthy we are, but focusing on his goodness. Not starting with, oh God, I'm terrible and look what I did and blah, blah, blah. And you can just end up going down this full-on pattern, okay? But it's recognizing how good God is, not about how unworthy or worthless you are. It's a child approaching a person, or a parent, not in fear, but in love. Like, I would be gutted if my kids like ran into the room going, you know, not knowing what's the reaction going to be. I'm going to talk to my mom. You never know. She might just fire a lightning bolt down. Or, you know, I want them to approach me with an attitude of love, because they should know that I love them. And that's exactly the same with our relationship with God. Let your will be done on earth and heaven is the next bit. And I love this bit. I think there's some great revelation in this. But on earth as in heaven, what does that mean? What's heaven like? Okay, just think. There's no sickness. There's no pain. There's no poverty. And what does Jesus show us here? He shows us what the will of God is for us here, right now. Let your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. And we think heaven, and we think, oh, when we die, it's all going to be perfect. And it's all about whenever we die, and whenever we pass on, or whenever we fall asleep, whatever way you want to say it. And we think that's whenever we're going to get perfection. But look what Jesus said. You should be declaring that perfection right here, right now. God's will is that we experience that side of heaven right now. And there's no reason why we can't experience healing, why we can't experience like our, you know, no poverty, no pain, none of that. That's what heaven is going to be like. There's none of those things. And that's what earth is supposed to be for us. It's an experience that God wants us to experience right here and right now. The next bit of the Lord's Prayer: give us this day our daily bread. I laugh at this because I was listening to a teaching on this, and the guy was like, so how many of you know that this isn't a question? Okay, give us this day our daily bread. Not a question. It's an expectant request. God has provided all that you need. As you sit here this morning, he has provided for all of your needs. What parent denies their child something that's good and beneficial for them? Okay, my kids don't have to come in and beg me to feed them. please, will you feed us? Okay, that's not. They just go, Mom, want breakfast? It's an expectant request. It's not a question of, are you going to feed us today? Are you going to buy us new shoes because our feet are coming out of these? They don't need to do that. But yet we approach God thinking we need to beg. God, I need this. I don't have that. Can you do? And if we get for a second how much of a better parents than we ever make, that's how great a parent God is. Way better than us. And yet we think we have to beg of him. We think we have to keep asking. But yet God says, you know what? I'll give you. You know, it's there. I've already provided for the very thing that you need. The statement, give us today our daily bread, is simply taking advantage by faith what Jesus on the cross has already provided by his grace. It's just reaching out and taking it. And then, of course, coming to the end of it, it's like, forgive us our sins and lead us not into temptation. And Andrew already touched on this morning during his intro, that our sins have already been atoned for. Jesus paid for our sins and they're already forgiven. This isn't a request, Lord, will you forgive me? Wait on answer, pause. No, that's not what happens. They're already forgiven. Jesus atoned for it. It's already been done. It's already been provided for. And we need to remember that in theory, this isn't a New Testament prayer. The Lord's Prayer is not a New Testament prayer. This is a model that Jesus gave his disciples before his death when they would have to ask for their sins to be forgiven. We no longer need to do that because Jesus, when he died on the cross, paid for them. It's ours. We accept forgiveness. So it's not in theory a New Testament prayer. And I'm going to touch on that later on. And then the end is, yours is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever and ever. Some translations leave that bit out. But again, it's a declaration of who God is and what he's about. It's lifting up his name again. This model kind of is like a little bit of a sandwich. It like begins with a wee bit of praise, your fillers, your request, and then it ends with another wee bit of praise. It's like a prayer sandwich. And the concept of that is really, really, really important. Last week, Andrew mentioned how easy it is to come to God and just babble when you're praying. And you know what? Hands up, I totally used to be a babbler when I prayed. And I'd heard this teaching before that it's a good thing to start your prayer with praise. Okay, so I would always come with that like mindset of, right, he said that it's good to start with praise, so that's what I will do. But to be honest, for me, it was kind of like I was buttering God up. Okay, it's like, God, you're so good, and you're this, and you're that. And I kind of felt as though I had to say so much before I really got to why I was praying, okay, if I'm honest. It was kind of like I'm buttering up, kind of the way I did with my own parents when I was looking something, if I'm really honest. Mom, did you get your hair cut? Amazing. Dad, lost weight? Going out? Anyone have 20 quid? Right, so you kind of like, you know, it's passing the compliment, buttering them up before you really get to the point of why you're doing it. And to be honest, that was what my prayer life was like. I kind of thought I had to butter God up before I really, really spoke to him honestly. And then once I got his attention, I would slip in my request, or I would tell him my problem, which usually, if it was something pretty big, kind of took up most of the time. So if I spent 5 minutes in prayer, this bit would take 4 minutes because of it going, right, God, had this argument today, and I would just basically repeat everything that had happened in my day. I'm like, she did that, and I'm really annoyed, and whatever, and you need to fix this. Amen. Right? Oh, with the important tagline, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay? Because that's the way I was taught to pray. And getting hold of this teaching on a better way to pray and just listening to a lot of great teachers teach on this really changed my walk with God. Like Andrew said it last week, he got hold of this like about 5 years ago. And it was one of those ones, Jill, you need to read that. You need to listen to him. And I also missed it. I listened to it. Totally changed my life. Totally changed how I talked with God and how I prayed with God. And whenever you come in to God with this confidence of your relationship to him, whenever you come in, start him with praise, not buttering him up because that's what you think you're doing, but genuinely out of your heart declaring how great your God is, something changes whenever you start a prayer like that. Whenever it's not about buttering him up, but it's genuinely about you lifting God's name above everything. And when you magnify God and when you declare his goodness and his greatness, what I have found, and even this week, just like rereading all my notes on this, I'm going, you know what, I've slipped back into old habits again. And I've started to pray, and I'm going, why did I stop praying like this? This is amazing. Because whenever I lift God up, suddenly the very thing that I really want to pray about becomes so small, becomes so tiny in comparison to everything I've just said about God. And it's incredible. It doesn't seem that big, the thing that I've come to him. And when you spend more time exalting God and not the issue, something completely changes. And then you finish with praise and you lift up his name. It's prayer literally means to worship. It's not a chore. It's not, I've got to do this. But in the Bible, it translates as worship, as simply loving God. And there's a word in some of the New Testament, and it translates to kiss the face of God. That's what prayer is, to kiss the face of God, to come to him in worship. It's not a ritual. It's not a counseling session where you go, God, bleh, here's what happened to me today. It's not when you get to tell him all your problems. And when you pray that prayer, like the model prayer sandwich, when you praise God over your circumstances, do you know what happens? You actually are speaking to yourself. Okay? I don't know how many times I've prayed like really depressing prayers, like, God, she's sick and I can't do. And do you know, I come away from that feeling awful, like feeling, oh, that didn't change anything. But something changes when I go, God, you know what? You are a big God and you are a healer and you don't deny us anything and you're a great father. And do you know what? I know that you've got that covered. So, and then I go on to praise him again. I don't need to babble on about such an embodied condition or medication or anything like that. Prayer changes me whenever I actually get positive about it. Whenever I do the prayer sandwich thing where I praise God more than just babble on. Did something happen to my microphone? No, it's okay. One of the things that makes a New Testament prayer a New Testament prayer is that we pray it in Jesus' name. John 16, which I think is going to come up, verse 23, it says, truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now, you've asked for nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. I honestly used to pray things in Jesus' name as if it was the magic words to get what you wanted. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, forgot to say that bit. Go back. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, I used to think that it was this magic tagline at the end of your prayer to make it work. It was like the formula. But something so amazing about the whole idea of why you pray in Jesus' name, okay? Because when you pray in the name of Jesus, recognizing the person of Jesus, you receive what Jesus has already supplied by grace on the cross. Andrew talked a little bit last week about how we can often use prayer almost to twist God's arm or to manipulate God. And we keep thinking that we have to keep asking, that we keep begging, that surely if we just keep on at God, then he might just give us this because we're nagging, okay? And there are many occasions when we can come to God with a God, will you do kind of attitude. That's why we're praying, because we need you to do something. And many times, God has already done the very thing that we're asking him to do. Anything that was provided by grace at the cross, we can receive by faith. We don't have to keep asking for healing. We don't have to keep asking that we're saved. We don't have to keep asking that God will look after us, because God has said all those things. And when Jesus died on the cross, it actually meant something. That was provided for 2,000 years ago. God already poured out. God already provided. And it's in Jesus' name, in the concept of Jesus dying and atoning for everything, we can come boldly, unashamed, and take our righteousness, take our healing, and take the prosperity that Jesus poured out at the cross. It's appropriating what's already been provided. It's not begging God to come and do. He's already done. It is finished. We need to stand on what Jesus has done. It's praying to our Father through Jesus, his Son, in the power of the Holy Spirit. We pray through Jesus. It's coming into agreement with everything Jesus has done, not twisting God's arm, saying, if I pray this length of prayer, then maybe God will do. But it's actually giving Jesus his rightful place and go, Jesus, you did make a difference. We can never twist God's arm. contradicts everything, but don't have to beg of him, okay? Because we know that he's a dad who loves us. What dad wouldn't give us, you know, the things that we desire, the things that we need? Ask and you will receive. That's what the Word of God says. And yet we think that we just have to keep on asking, begging, please God, will you? And God is saying, you know what, I have done it. We don't have to beg God to get our own way. He loves us. And we sang it this morning. He loves us. If you get that, wow, God actually loves me. What are the chances he might actually do something good in my life? Right? He loves us. He is motivated by love. We don't motivate God by our prayers. Ooh, controversial. We don't motivate God by our prayers. Now, some of you may be thinking, wait a wee minute, Jill. Abraham pleaded with God, when God was wanting to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, Abraham pleaded with God, please, God, don't do this. You know you don't want to do that. Moses challenged God not to destroy the children of Israel. I think this bit's amazing that God actually repented to Moses. It's in the Bible. I think, incredible. Moses had a little chat with God. God goes, sorry, Moses, forgive me. Like, what's that about, right? So Moses interceded on behalf of Israel for God. And the Old Testament way, this Old Testament way of praying to God, of pleading with him, of begging of him, of interceding on behalf of someone until God moves, is an Old Testament way of praying. It's Old Testament way of thinking. Jesus came and he completely changed something for us, okay? It's not that we have to stand in the gap in theory and beg God not to do whatever he's going to do. Jesus changed something. Moses was known as the mediator, as the person who would stand between God and the people, and he would beg God. And to be honest, a lot of what's known as prayer today, like intercessory type prayer, is kind of built around this old model of Old Testament covenant thinking. It's trying to plead with God, God, will you move? Will you send your spirit? Please change things. That's a lot of what intercessory prayers like. People that lock themselves away and pray, God, please move. Please will you come? Please will you send your spirit? But guess what? God's already moved. God's already sent his spirit. God has already done everything that we ever need, and he's just waiting on us to wake up and actually realize this amazing truth. We don't have to keep begging him, begging off him. Something is different because of Jesus. In Jesus' name, something changes. This is a great scripture just to back this up. 1 Timothy 2, verses 1 to 6. It says, first of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and a quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Saviour, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Jesus now is our mediator. He's the negotiator. Jesus bore the judgment of the world's sin. Jesus suffered the wrath of God. And that sacrifice was completely perfect. It was complete. It's what Hebrews says. It is finished. When we accept Jesus, when we respond to Jesus, we have to believe that it changes something in our relationship with God, because Jesus mediates between us and God. Because of that, our prayers should be different. We come to God not afraid, not looking at him as a judge who's about to smite us and strike us down at any given moment. Or if we don't pray for that particular city and keep cover in prayer, then God just might, you know, kill all those people. God is not angry anymore. His wrath was poured out on Jesus, and we have to believe that made a difference. God is a God of love, who has provided love in its form on the cross so that we could be in a relationship with him. I think that's incredible, absolutely incredible. He's not standing. He's not a God standing with his arms folded. And this, to be honest, has been my impression of God in the past, where, right, Jill, that prayer was terrible. Seriously, what are you doing? Or, those words in that order, whatever. Or you didn't pray on Thursday this week, so I'm not going to grant you what you request. No. And then I try and pray a little bit more. And maybe one day, just one day, I can move God to open his arms and give me all that he's needed. And sometimes I think that that is what religion has taught us. That God's standing like this, and until we pray right or have enough faith or do whatever, then God's going to do. But it's complete opposite. God has already done that. We don't need to come to him. We don't need to beg. Our prayers can't change his mind. We are not mediators. We can't beg God to suddenly take back the work of Jesus. Jesus is our mediator. He's the very thing and the very person who is negotiating with God. There's only one mediator between God and man. And it's almost, if you keep begging of God, you know what you're saying to Jesus? You're kind of saying, you know what, you didn't really do it right. Because I still need to, my prayer's going to change this. I'm going to say the right words in the right order. And then I'm going to get God to move. You're kind of pushing Jesus to the side and saying, you know what? Maybe you weren't enough. Maybe I have to do a wee bit more. That's not what it's about. It's about believing in Jesus' finished work. That was enough. And when you truly believe that it was enough, well, you actually stop begging from God. Your prayers change. Andrew even said last week that quite often the way you pray actually shows what you really believe. And I, do you know what, that challenges me sometimes, because I think that because whenever you've been brought up with almost that religious background of this is the way you pray and this da-da-da-da-da-da, it's actually sometimes quite easy to slip back into that. And even so much recently as a couple of months ago, I find myself begging of God for Lily. And I'm going, what am I doing? What am I doing? Of course God wants to heal her. I don't need to beg and go, God, please, will you heal Lily? I know that he has a dad that loves her and wants her healing. I don't need to beg. Definitely don't need to beg. I'm pushing Jesus to the side and saying, do you know what? Your work wasn't enough. I now have to get on my hands and knees and I have to get this healing for my daughter. That's not what it's about at all. And I want you guys to challenge yourselves this morning. What are you praying? Are you someone that spends the 20 minutes, if you pray for half an hour, do you spend 20, 25 minutes begging, telling God how bad it is? Oh, it's awful. And then just at the end of it, saying, but you're good. Amen. Anyone would be depressed after a prayer like that. Whenever you lift up the name of Jesus and whenever you recognize who he is, what he's done for you, it changes everything in how you pray. And do you know what? I want everyone this week to challenge themselves. Whenever you're praying, just make a mental note of what's coming out of your mouth, because it does show really what's going on in your heart. I just love this teaching that there's only one mediator between God and man. I don't have to be someone who nags God. Jesus has done it all. It is finished. It was perfect. And all I need to do is stand on the finished work of Jesus. That's it. And that has to change the way I pray. I come to God knowing that he is a dad who would do anything for me. I think something changes whenever you have children, because like you never, any parents that are here, you would not deny your children anything that's going to benefit from them. I think some people go, ask and you receive. Well, I'll ask God for a Ferrari and I'll not say it. No, it's about good things for you. God will never deny something that's good for your life. It's going to benefit you in what he's called you to do and what he's asked you to do. He's not like that. He is brilliant. And this all starts with us getting the right mindset of who our daddy God is. That he's not someone who's out to slap us or he's going, oh, you didn't pray on Thursday. But that we come on the finished work of Jesus, knowing that we're righteous, knowing that we're holy, knowing that we're perfect, not because we and our human bodies are, but because we put on Jesus and we say, here we are, God. And we come boldly asking of him, but not asking if he's already provided, declaring the good works of Jesus, receiving by faith what Jesus has already provided by grace. Griff, can I get you to come up? That's me finished this morning. Great things have yet to come.